but my name is Danielle Dickerson, and you are in the session. I have to look to remind myself what I named it, okay? Ooh, Lord help me. The heart behind the influential woman. So I think the only man we have in here is my husband. And he said, is it weird that I'm in here now? I said, no, you're just going to learn how to be an influential woman. No, it's great to have his support. Well, ladies, I love that we're all together now because we are going to be a little bit interactive today. Before we get started, though, can we just talk about, real quick, a sisterhood, right? Is it okay if today that we get a little real? Because I'm going to ask some questions, and I'm going to ask you to be vulnerable with those who are around you. You might know them, you might not, but you might walk out with a friend if you don't know them, right? And how many of you know that when we learn about a friend, when we learn their story, when we hear from them, it's really hard not to love them. So today, we're going to spend some time in between some of the things that I'm talking to you guys about. I wish I could be down on the ground with you guys because then I feel like we'd be nice and cozy and comfortable together. But I guess you can't see me down there, and there's a weird mic thing that happens. So I'm going to stay up here. But ladies, we're going to get together in some of these times, and you'll get to discuss a question or two. But when we discuss in the sisterhood, when we share, we care, right? We can share that together. Our sharing, as they say in school, sharing is caring. But it applies here too. But can we just stay away from a coaching moment? Can we just keep it where we're able to share our hearts today? And we'll allow the Holy Spirit to coach us? Can we do that? Can we also take what we hear and maybe it just kind of hits you and you say, you know what? We're not going to go back to church and be like, whew, did you hear what Sally said? Let me tell you what she said when we were talking. She is not close to Jesus, and we got to be praying for her. We're not going to do that. If you feel the need to pray for someone and the Lord has really placed that on your heart, we're not going to shame or anything like that, but take that to the Lord, not anybody else. That's between you and God. And go ahead and pray for that sister, but let's not share in that capacity. Can we all agree to that together? Yes, amen. All right. Look, y'all are great. Y'all are easy. I love it. Well, today we are talking about influence. Influence. The word influence today with social media, it has so many different ways that looks, right? And people are doing anything they can. They're vying to have the title influencer. Now, let me tell you, it's different than the kind of influence that I'm talking about today. Some people today will do next to anything, and I'm sure you've seen it. I'm not on TikTok or anything like that, but I do watch a reel from time to time, and they will do anything to be titled. Am I aging myself, girls, and saying I watch a reel? They just laughed at me. I think I'm aging myself. I think I'm supposed to be on the TikTok, but I'm not. But they'll do anything they can to be titled influencer. It's crazy. When I was younger, I had a woman come up to me, and I was a stay-at-home mom for many years. For about 15 years, I was a stay-at-home mom and didn't really get on social media all that much at that time. But honestly, even at that time, we didn't have social media influencers like we do today. But I had a woman in the church come up to me and she said, Danielle, you're an influencer. And like I said, that was before the days of like social media's influence. I know I'm aging myself again. By the time we're gone, you guys will see all of my gray hairs, I promise. But I didn't have that concept of what an influencer is. But I remember walking away from that conversation thinking, what in the world is this woman talking about? I mean, I am not influencing anybody except, I only had two girls at the time, except for my two girls. And the only influencing I'm doing is trying to get them to go to the potty, not put peas up their nose, even if they fit. And that Vaseline was not a hair product to be put on your head the day before Christmas photos. That really happened. Yeah, Dawn dish soap for the win many days later, lots of washes later. But that's the only influencing that I thought that I was doing. Well, fast forward many years later, and now I understand what this sweet woman was saying. We are all influencers. We all have a circle around us that we're able to influence either for good or for not. So I can honestly stand up here and look at every single one of your faces and say, you are an influencer. Look at your neighbor and tell her, you're an influencer. Okay, go ahead, get your phone out. We're in church, it's all right. Go ahead, get your phone out, because I know we all have them. Take your phone out. I'll wait for you, it's all right. Turn on your camera. And take a picture of me. No, I'm joking. I'm just joking. Don't take a picture. I'm totally joking. Do not do that. No, turn it around so that you can see yourself. Look at yourself. If you want to slide it over to record so you can have this moment, go for it. Hit record, look at yourself, and say, you are an influencer. Isn't it hard? Am I alone in that it is hard to tell yourself you are an influencer? Don't it feel a little awkward? It does for me too. It does. But you know what? No matter where you are, God is calling you to influence those who are around you. Each and every one of us are influencing and leading in some capacity. It may be at school, it could be at home, at work, in your family, at church, in your community. We're ladies. We lead all the time, do we not? We lead all the time. So we are leading someone somewhere, and that means that we're also influencing everyone around us. But let's begin by defining what influence is. So go ahead, yell out to me. What do you think influence is? Power. Okay, I heard another. A leader.
Role model.
A role model. Oh, help me. Showing people who Jesus is. I heard another.
Motivation.
A smile. Trustworthy. Being real.
Impact to change, caring.
Impact to change, caring. Wow. Someone said something.
Intentional.
My goodness. You guys did way better than Webster. Honest to goodness. Way better than Webster. Webster says that influence is the capacity to affect the character, development, and behavior of someone or something. But you know, we don't have to be in a high-profile occupation or in a position of leadership to be a person of influence. If you're someone who connects with people, you are an influencer. But if you desire to be a person of that has a positive impact, I don't know about you, but that's what I want, to be a person that has a positive impact on your world, you have to look at the root of where influence grows, and that's the heart. Your heart is the most important leadership tool that you have. Let me say that again. Your heart is the most important leadership tool that you have. It's not your knowledge, your experience, your skills. Those things are helpful, but the most important is your heart. God warns us about this in Proverbs 4:23. It says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Solomon didn't say, hey, when you feel like it, guard your heart. He didn't say, you know, it would be great if you could try to guard your heart when you're happy. He didn't tell us, hey, when you get around to it, go ahead and guard your heart. No, he said, above all else, guard your heart. Make it a top priority. The heart is a central part of our spiritual life and leadership, so much so that the Old Testament refers to the heart 847 times, and the New Testament refers to it 156 times. If it's referred to that many times in the Bible, how many of you know we better stop and take notice about what it's saying? But these scriptures aren't speaking to our physical heart. Biblically, the heart refers to the whole person, even our capacity to think. It's the essence of who you are, where all your dreams, your desires, and your passions live. It's the part that connects with God and other people. But just like your physical body, if your heart dies, your spiritual heart dies, so does your leadership, in turn affecting your influence. That's why the scripture says, guard your heart. Spiritual leadership and influence is a work of heart. Today, we're going to look at the heart-shaping work that God wants all of us, every single one of us, to go through so that we can have a kingdom impact on those who are around us. You know, there's many examples all throughout God's word of leaders, great leaders that were shaped, their hearts were shaped by God. But there's four today that I'm going to touch on different times. And they're four of the most known, but I chose these four because they have a lot of biblical material on these four men. It's Moses, David, Paul, and Jesus. You want some good leadership material? These are the four that you want to look up and learn about. You see, each of these biblical leaders had a divine heart-shaping moment all throughout their life. Their influence wasn't something that just, boom, they were called to leadership and they were influential at the capacity that they were. It was something that grew in stages. They allowed God to shape their hearts. And God did this through three arenas. One was culture, one was their communion, and the third one is the commonplace. And today we're going to break down these three arenas that help to shape their hearts and can also help to shape our hearts still today. So the first is culture. Many times when we discuss culture today in church, we focus on ways that we can transform culture. We look at the ways that we shouldn't be influenced by culture today. It kind of has a negative connotation. But I think it's important for us to know that culture also serves God's purposes. He uses it to shape the hearts of influential leaders. Friends, we're not born into a vacuum. We are born into a world that is filled with human experiences, and that's been going on for hundreds of thousands of years. There are people all around us. We have so many things that interact with our culture, and the Almighty sovereignly decides when each and every one of us and where each and every one of us will enter into His story. When I'm speaking of culture today, I'm speaking about the environmental factors that influence us. It's the backdrop in which we all live our lives. The culture that we're born into, developed in, and the culture that we live in profoundly affects who we are and who we become. You see, God shapes the heart of leaders through culture. Through the life of the story of Moses, David, Paul, and Jesus, we can see how God used cultural forces to help prepare them for their life assignments. Moses set into motion the exodus and the demise of the Hebrew slave culture. David secured Israel's borders and presided over the rise of a true nation. Paul shaped the early Christian movement to be cross-cultural. And Jesus revolutionized the concept of God and changed the entire world. If we want to influence culture, we have to do that with an open heart. We cannot do that with a closed heart. We have to do it with an open heart by having a positive influence on culture rather than isolating from it. How many times do we try to isolate from culture? For us to have this positive influence, we must look at the point where our lives and the lives that we live in, the culture that we live in, and our hearts interact. In order for God, for us to allow God to use culture as a method of heart sculpting, we have to look at three areas of our lives. And some of these don't always feel good. The first one is knowing where you come from. If you're taking notes, write that down. Knowing where you come from. Discovering your roots. This is a journey that every single one of us needs to go on. And if you've not been on that journey, I'm going to encourage you to go on that journey. How many of you have done the deep dive of discovering where you have come from? I did this in 2020. Of course, the world was shut down, so what else did I have to do but to talk to my family over FaceTime? But I did. I wanted to know, where did my faith journey begin? Not for me. I know where it began for me. But where did it begin in my family? Who was the first person to say yes to Jesus? On my mom and dad's side, I found out that pretty quickly because it was her mom and dad. They said yes to Jesus. On my dad's side, my grandfather was the first one. But my mama, and I'm going to talk a lot about my mama today. My mama, she comes from a very long line of a Christian faith. And I went to Virginia and I found out that it was my great, 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 great grandfather that said yes to Jesus in a divine moment that was truly appointed by God. I also have been on a journey of self-reflection. And if you've not done that, make sure you go on that journey. I made a timeline of my life, and I put all the major things that have happened to me, some choices that I've made and things that have happened to me. But within that, I also put cultural things that happened that impacted, I know has an impact on my life. You see, the point of knowing where you come from is not so that we can discover how we're victims of our past, but rather it's an insight into your initial and early formative experiences. Maturity comes when we're able to see where you've come from, your family of origin, how your heart was formed, and to look at our early development, our early cultural development as a gift. Sometimes, though, our upbringing, our experiences, things that happen to us as a child and the influences around us, they could be crippling. It could be really, really hard to look at. But you see, God can take a past that we find as ugly or dirty or shameful, and he can turn it into something beautiful. God loves to make beauty from ashes. Being a woman of influence, friends, is one who is willing to go through these hard and sometimes the painful work to self-understanding. It's knowing where you come from. The beautiful part of this heart-shaping task is that when you know where you come from and you tell God, this might not be beautiful, but you can use it. And that he leads you to somebody that you're able to influence them and tell them about Jesus simply by telling your story. That is why knowing where we come from is important. Some of you maybe you've not done this before. Maybe you've not gone on this journey before. I want to encourage you today to go on that journey of learning where you come from. You might want to do this alone. You might want to do this with a trusted friend. But always, always invite the Holy Spirit into that space, into that task, because he was there all along, knitting you together. He was right there with you, even if you didn't know the sound of his voice. He was there. Well, in order for us to allow God to use culture as a method of heart sculpting for us, we have to know where we come from, but we have to know where we stand. In this heart task, we examine our current culture so that we can understand and connect with the culture that God has placed us in. This is where we throw away, I hope I don't hurt anybody here, but hopefully we all understand, this is the place where we throw away, this is how it's always been done mentality. You know, it's comfortable to stay in that space because it's easy and we don't have to get uncomfortable. We can just stay right there because that's how it's always done. But if we are not willing to change, to get uncomfortable, and to be culturally relevant, can I say that? To be culturally relevant, we will lose. We will lose. This ambition of being culturally relevant isn't just for relevancy's sake. It's in order to establish and maintain a credible dialogue and connection with those inside our church and outside our church. You see, Jesus, he was a small business owner, and he did this very, very well. He related to the concerns of ordinary people, even in his furniture making, even in his carpentry. He listened to their concerns, and he made the furniture that they wanted, that they needed. On the other hand, the religious elite were completely out of touch with the people. And that's why the people were absolutely captivated by Jesus. He was different. He was listening to them. You see, Jesus embraced the culture that God put him in. He was not a part of it, but he was in it. And that's what we need to do. We must find ways to embrace the culture that we live in. In order to do this, we need to continually learn about what's happening around you, all while guarding your heart, so that you can be in the culture, but not a part of it. So looking back, looking around, and next is we must look ahead. Knowing where you want to go. That's your third point. Write that down. Knowing where you want to go. As women of influence who want to transform culture, we need to seek to build as many bridges as we possibly can with the outside people outside the faith. Excuse me. Our hearts should be captured by God for developing relationships with people who aren't just in our church, who are in our community, who are in our neighborhood. People who are made in the image of God. I call this living a life on mission. It's linking arms with the Father to build relationships with the lost so that they may be found. Is that not what our Savior did? It's just exactly what Jesus did. You see, Jesus' heart was captured by the one who sent him. And he showed a redemptive grace to every single person he met, every single person that was created in the image of God. So when we know where we come from, when we know where we stand, our knowing of where we're going is birthed out of the identity that we received from Christ. It's knowing who he has made us, where he's brought us from. It's knowing who he's asking us to influence and where he's asking us to influence. So in these next couple of minutes, I'm going to give everybody 4 minutes. Take a real quick look around and find your partner. Make eye contact. Don't make it weird. Make it quick, okay? We're going to take 4 minutes, and I want you to answer this question. Have you dug in to explore where you've come from? Have you found a way to embrace the culture around you that you stand in? And are you looking at the future to see where God is leading you and the ways he's asking you to live on mission? So ask, which stage are you in? Looking back, looking around, and looking forward. There's no shameful answer. We're all in different places, and that's okay. So looking back, looking around, or looking forward. You've got 4 minutes. Go. Just a 2-minute warning. Where am I? Huh?
Are you living in?
Yeah. Looking back, looking now, forward. 100%. She's a runner, she's a track star. Across this auditorium, because it means you're connecting, and I love that. We're going to move on to our next point. So we connected with culture. Our heart is shaped through culture. And our next one is communion. this is the one, I'm going to be honest with you, that makes my heart go pitter-patter. Of all the areas that God uses to shape our hearts, this is the biggest, because this is the one, let's be truthful, that we can neglect really easily. This is the practice of abiding. It's continual communion with the Father. Ladies, our world is noisy, and how many hats do we wear? Yeah, it's a lot. We have emails, text messages, phone calls, notes to school, notes home from school that you don't always want to get, right? Am I the only one who gets those? I don't know. But an overcommitted schedule. We have the pressures of work, of being present with our family calendar, our church calendar, you know, exercising, mentoring others. The list can go on, and some of these things are great things that need to happen. But compiled together, it can be a tool of mass destruction for our spiritual life because it threatens to shut down our communion with God. And once that happens, our effectiveness is destroyed. We become a casualty of a struggle as old as time. Eternity is drowned out by the screams of temporal concerns. Communion lies at the center of heart shaping. Through communion, we come to know God. We know who He is. We come to know His voice, and we can recognize it in an instant. We come to know Him as our very best friend. I was talking to a little girl who's only two, and we were driving down the road, and I said, "Selah, do you know who made these beautiful trees?" And she said, "No. Who planted them?" I said, "God made them." And I kept naming things that God made as we were driving down the road, and she goes, "How do you know Him? How do you know God too?" I said, "He's my very best friend." But in communion, we come to know Him as our best friend. We come to know what He likes and He doesn't like. And we hopefully do more of what He likes and not the things that pulls us apart. Scripture calls this obedience. We secure our relationship with the heart maker and the heart shaper. We improve our relationship by being interested in what He's doing and being an active participant in it. Again, I call that living a life on mission, reaching the lost. We come to strengthen our spiritual foundation, and this supports our effectiveness, our leadership, our influence. We come to know our identity in Christ, and that is our firm foundation. This is where we have firsthand knowledge of the heart of God, and we can reflect His heart to God's people all around us. Friends, this can't be done just of stories of past encounters. Those are great and should be shared. The Bible tells us over and over again, remember, right? We should share those past experiences. But this communion springs up from a vibrant, up-to-date walk with the Almighty. Through this communion, God shapes our heart to display the heart of Christ to everyone around us and in all areas of our life. He displays His character even through our thoughts and our actions and in our reactions. I don't know about you, but I feel an amen after that reaction one. If you're a mama, you should say amen to that. Please tell me I am not the only one who reacts to my kids. But it's true. It's through this communion that God pursues us relentlessly. Think about that. He pursues us relentlessly, searching for an entrance to every single area of our heart, our ambitions, our loves, our emotions, our fears, our assumptions, our character, and even our behaviors. Great women of influence are great women of influence because she enjoys exceptional communion with the Father. She understands that the failure to establish this communion, this intimacy with Him, limits her influence. So allow me to ask you, go ahead, you can yell these answers out at me again. What does continual communion look like? Staying in the Word.
Prayer.
Time of worship. What was that?
A time of worship.
You both said the same thing. Sitting in silence with Him, listening. Active listening prayer is very important. Prayer isn't just us talking to God, right? It's talking with God. Thank you, Bible quiz. Who else?
Hearing the heart of the Father.
Discipleship.
Obedience to His voice.
Obedience to His voice.
Commitment.
What was it?
Commitment.
Connection to others. That's a stretch in the back. I thought it was a hand up. It's all right, sister. It's all right. You guys, seriously, we should hit the road and preach together. Okay, let's do that. Seriously, your answers are so amazing. It's true, all of those. And I'll add one more that is really hard to do but important. Communion is fasting, right? Fasting and prayer. But the goal of communion is becoming one of two hearts, yours and God's. And over time, those who crave God's heart shaping work, hear that, crave God's heart-shaping work in this arena, also become more transparent. Others are able to relate to them. They're more available to others. And more open displays of the heart of God. Developing and maintaining this quality communion with God is not easy. It is hard work, but it must be made a top priority. How many of you know that if it's hard, it's worth it, right? I tell my kids that all the time. Hard work is worth it. Because shallow communion equates to imploding leadership. If you're taking notes, write that down. Shallow communion equates to imploding leadership. But deep communion equals a positive, influential leadership legacy. As we come to know the heart of the Father in communion, our own hearts begin to beat within His. And others around us can't help but to take notice. I like to liken this to perfume. I have a perfume that I wear all the time. And I've had people in the office tell me, Danielle, we know when you've been in a room because we can smell you. I'm still hoping that they're saying it smells really good. But my perfume, they can smell it. But that's how it is when we commune with God. There is an aroma that envelops us, and others around us take notice. They can tell that we're different. And in turn, we are able to influence others to know the one who loves them, who created them for a purpose, the one who can forgive them, heal them, and make them whole by sharing His heart, because we have spent time in communion with the one. So let's go ahead. We're going to break into our groups one more time, and we're going to answer one simple question. What can you do this week to improve your communion with God? We have 3 minutes. Ready, set, go.
Okay.
1 minute warning. Listening prayer.
That's good.
Yeah.
I don't listen.
My brain goes very fast, so. All right, ladies. Hopefully you've made a good plan for this next week. Hopefully you are all walking out with a plan on a way that you can commune more with our Father. Well, the last arena that we're going to look at today is the commonplace. Many times we don't think much about our day-to-day activities except for that checklist that we've got to get checked off, right? Honestly, though, we can take these moments for granted. But it's in the common times, the everyday moments of our life, the commonplaces that God uses to shape our hearts. The commonplace is the stuff of routine life. It's the pickup line. It's the pickup line at school. I should say that because that could be taken a different way. I didn't think about that. The pickup line at school. It could be in the grocery line at school. This is being recorded. Okay. It's all right. But it's the common moments of every single day that we go through. The little moments with your kids at the dinner table, our day in. It's life in the making. The stuff that we don't really pay attention to, but it's the stuff that the big moments draw upon. You see, God uses small moments every day to help shape our hearts. We can see how God used the commonplace to help shape the hearts of our four biblical leaders. Moses memorized the Sinai Desert during his shepherding experience. and his knowledge helped him to keep the Hebrews alive in the wilderness. David's target practice when he was a shepherd boy with wild animals allowed him to use that and help God's people to fight off a giant oppressor. Paul cultivated a joyful heart, and it showed up in a midnight service in a jail cell long before it surfaced in our Philippians correspondence. And Jesus, he was known from the Gospels, we hear it, that he was in the synagogue regularly and wanting to spend time in the synagogue. In each of these cases, the commonplace served as a workshop where God prepared the hearts of these leaders for greatness. You see, heart shaping is not something that only happens in big moments. It's not something that only happens in church. It occurs in the ordinary. It never goes on and off the clock. God remains attentive to our hearts every day, all day long. It's not always easy, though, for us to see God at work, but we know he is constantly attentive and working on our behalf. This is the commonplace. This heart-shaping tool that God wants to use is something that we can not really pay attention to because we don't always have to. But if we do, our hearts can really be shaped through it. There are a few habits that I think we can put into place that will allow the commonplace to shape in our hearts. And the first is this: look for God. Train yourself to look for God everywhere. God uses the circumstances in our life to train our hearts. We tend to disregard circumstances, especially if they're challenging ones or they hurt or they're annoying. We want to avoid those or quickly overcome them. But this is an attitude that will keep us in the dark as much of what God is trying to teach us during these circumstances. How many of you would agree that through pain, disappointment, and failure, we learn a lot? Pain is a master teacher for effective leaders. It's during the difficult seasons when I was younger, I would pray and I would tell the Lord, listen, I am a quick learner. So if you can just teach me what you want me to learn, I promise I'll apply it to my life and we can just be done with this. Well, I had one thing right, that I was going to my father for relief. But I didn't have it right that I wanted to hurry through the learning. You see, as I got older, I come to know and understand that I don't want God to take me off the operating table. I want him to leave me there and help to sculpt my heart, even if it hurts, even through every single one of the trials that I've been through. He wants to teach us in the commonplace of trials, and we need to continue to look for him through the commonplace of trials. Then we have joys and triumphs. They're also in the commonplace of heart shaping. These are moments of life that we love to live in. It's the heart shaping that just kind of melts our hearts. It's seeing the goodness of God in the big and small moments. It's seeing the goodness of God in a major triumph or a small victory, in the face of your children, of your family, in the beauty of his nature. I love how Jody Dietrich put it when she was at Time Apart. When we see the goodness of God, it's okay to say, thank you for your goodness to me today. And I put that into practice, and let me tell you, it does. It changes how you see circumstances. The leader who walks with joy has made a decision to look for God. And you're amazed by who he is. You're amazed by his glory and his presence. You don't lose that awe and wonder. This grows out of our relationship with God and our communion with Him. But this also requires us to create space for the commonplace and to be attentive to the everyday activities of God, to look for God and allow Him to shape our hearts through everyday moments, whether they be good or bad. The second habit is keep learning. God wants us to be continual students, always learning. And let me say to you, congratulations, because you are doing that today. You've been learning all, yeah, that's right, give it to yourself, girl. Yes, you've been learning all day. You're putting this into practice already. But this is crucial because God wants us to learn not just about Him, but He wants us to learn about all kinds of things. And it's crucial because He can use those things that we're learning to help shape our hearts. So what are you learning outside of here? What are you reading? What are your interests? Have you learned something that's new, fun, or mind-blowing? And are you willing to allow Him to use the things that you're learning? The third is say yes to God. Say yes to God. This is a habit of obedience. The leader who makes this habit of saying yes to God will keep her heart tender toward God. Those who choose not to live in this attitude of yes may miss out on His instruction. We may miss out on His insights and His presence. I'm telling you what, that's not what I don't want to miss out on those things. Friends, God whispers in the commonplace. This usually shows up in the commonplace experiences of being kind, being patient, even if we don't have time to be patient. How many, if you live in Columbus, you say amen because traffic is something here. It's being patient in traffic, in line with your children, in all situations. It's being gentle. It shows up in a word of encouragement or a pleasant countenance. Can you all know the saying, fix your face? Yes, sometimes we need to tell ourselves that, fix your face before you go out in public. I'm not talking about your makeup. You know what I'm saying, right? Okay. It means that you might have to sacrifice time in order to write a note or call someone that God has put on your heart. I have somebody who does this very well. I call her Mama Val because she is a spiritual mama to me. And when I'm going through hard times, even if I don't call her and say, Mama Val, I need you to pray for me, I'll go out to my mailbox and find that she has written me a note. And it's always right on time. God wants to use the commonplace for us to practice daily obedience. The amazing thing is when we say yes daily, we can have victories to celebrate with Him every single day. In the commonplace, we can be attentive to God's heart-shaping work by looking for God, by being a continual student, saying yes to Him, and by staying grateful. So let me ask you, have you ever met this woman who is a living proof that she's allowed culture, communion, and the commonplace to shape her heart? I've met many. My mom, my Sunday school teacher, Sister Funk. Yep, it's okay. We can laugh about that. It's all right. But that really was her name. And that was back in the day when we called our elder Sister. Sister Funk. But one that sticks out to me the most is my mamma. Oh, I'm going to try not to cry because my mamma was one of the most amazing women that I have ever met. This sweet country girl from the hills of Virginia. She was my babysitter when I was little, and I can remember I would walk into her house in the morning, and she would be reading her Bible. And then in the 2 o'clock Today special came on, and that was my favorite show, and she would put it on for me, and Mamma would read her Bible. And then before she would go to bed, she would read her Bible. She was always reading her Bible. She was always singing praises. Even though 9 times out of 10 they were not on key or any kind of beat, she was singing praises to her Father. She was always talking with God Even while doing her daily chores, she would talk with God, and if people didn't know her and walked into the house, they probably would think she was a crazy woman. But she did. She talked with God. She would cry out to him and plead on others' behalf. She would travail in her room. She influenced so many that when she went home to be with Jesus, people waited for hours to come and pay their respects. There was actually a traffic jam outside of the funeral home. This sweet yet feisty Southern woman was a major influence to anyone who met her. Mamaw, she was captivated by her maker, but more than that, she cultivated a love and growing relationship with him. She was in constant communion with God. She allowed her heart to be shaped in the commonplaces, and she knew where she came from, she knew where she stood, and she knew where she was going. She was going to share Jesus with anyone she could. Many times she did this without even saying his name, but countless people came to know Jesus because my Mamaw shared her greatest love with them. Mamaw was a woman of great influence. This is the kind of heart that I want, and I'm sure you do too, otherwise you wouldn't be in this room with me today. Ladies, we get to choose what kind of heart we want. What kind of heart you choose will limit or increase your influence. It will limit or increase your impact that God has for you on this world. The leader's heart, who has been wonderfully, meticulously shaped by God, is a beautiful and magnificent piece of work. It truly is a masterpiece. Friends, God is in the heart sculpting business, and he wants to shape your heart to be a remarkable likeness to his son. We get to choose how we respond to his heart shaping. This isn't easy. It isn't always pretty, but it is completely and totally worth it. Because if we allow this to happen, not only does our influence grow, but our impact on the kingdom of God grows. Proverbs 27:19 says it like this: As a face is reflected in water, so the heart reflects the real person. So who will you reflect? I'll leave you with this one challenge. Do the hard heart work. Allow culture to shape your heart by looking where you come from, knowing where you stand, and knowing where you're going. Grow in your communion with God. Friends, this is everything. Allow heart shape to happen in the everyday common places. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much, Lord, that you are the one who shapes our hearts. And God, right now, Father, I pray that as these women go home, that you will do the hard heart work with them, alongside them. Father, that they may shine to others your love, your heart, and they may impact the kingdom of God. Thank you, Father, that you have trusted us to influence others and help us to use this influence to draw others to you. We love you so much, Jesus. In Jesus' precious, holy, and mighty name, amen.